Buckle up, everyone, because today we're diving into a topic that's changing the world as we speak.
Oh, yeah, it's a big one.
We're talking about the decline of the U.S. dollar and what that means for all of us.
The rise of a multipolar world.
Exactly. And to really get this, we're going to be looking at this article called
The Dollar's Demise, Weaponization, BRICS, and the End of American Hegemony. Pretty catchy title, huh?
It grabs you for sure.
Yeah, and by the end of this deep dive, you'll understand why this matters.
To you, to me, to everyone.
And some big questions to think about as this all unfolds.
So to kick things off, let's talk about this idea of
exorbitant privilege.
Okay, back up for a second.
Right.
Exorbitant privilege, what is that?
It's a term coined by former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, and it describes the unique advantages the U.S. dollar had.
As the world's leading reserve currency.
You got it.
Okay, so I'm starting to see the picture here.
It's like having the ultimate VIP pass in the global economy.
So what kind of advantages are we talking about here?
Well, imagine being able to invest overseas with practically no cost or running huge budget deficits without the same consequences as other countries.
Because everyone needs dollars.
Exactly. Everyone needs dollars for trade and finance, so the U.S. could basically print money.
And get away with it.
Pretty much. And this privilege also helped them maintain a strong military presence globally.
And exerts a lot of influence.
You know, shaping global events and all that.
So it sounds like the U.S. was in a pretty sweet spot, but this article suggests that this exorbitant privilege may have backfired.
Yeah, maybe they got a little too comfortable.
So what happened?
Well, the article argues that the U.S., maybe blinded by its own power, started to weaponize the dollar.
Weaponize it.
Using it as a tool to punish countries that didn't follow their lead.
You're talking about sanctions, right?
Exactly. Those economic penalties the U.S. slapped on countries like Iran, Russia, Venezuela.
Freezing assets, restricting trade, and basically cutting them off from the global financial system.
It was a way to force them to comply with U.S. foreign policy.
But it seems like this strategy might have had some unintended side effects.
Yeah, you could say that.
What kind of side effects?
Well, for one, it really eroded trust in the U.S. dollar and the whole U.S.-led financial system.
Because other countries started to worry that their dependence on the dollar made them vulnerable.
They realized that if the U.S. could use the dollar as a weapon against its enemies,
they could do the same to anyone.
At any time.
So other countries started looking for ways to protect themselves.
And that's where BRICS comes in.
BRICS.
That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa initially, but it's expanded since then.
And they're basically challenging the U.S.-led order.
They're not just sitting around complaining. They're building a whole new system.
Now, BRICS represents a pretty big chunk of the global population and economy.
Oh, yeah. A huge chunk.
But are they just talking, or are they actually taking steps to ditch the dollar?
They're taking action for sure.
Like what?
Well, they're setting up institutions like the New Development Bank.
A rival to the World Bank and the IMF.
Which are often seen as controlled by the U.S.
So they're building their own financial infrastructure.
Exactly. A system that runs parallel to the existing one.
And on top of that, they're also promoting the use of local currencies in trade.
Like Russia and India are increasingly using rupees for their oil deals.
That's a direct challenge to the petrodollar system.
The system that's been propping up U.S. economic dominance for decades.
And the article also brings up something pretty interesting.
What's that?
The U.S. could have used its power for good.
To make a real difference in the world.
Invest in development, fight poverty, tackle climate change.
But instead, we see a different story playing out.
And the article uses this thing called modern monetary theory, or MMT, to argue that the U.S. actually had the resources.
The financial capacity.
To do all that good stuff, but they chose not to.
The constraint was political will not a lack of money.
And it paints a pretty stark contrast with what's happening in Argentina right now under Milei.
Where the country's basically being turned into a resource colony.
Yeah, and that really makes you question, was the U.S.'s decline just a series of blunders, or was it something more deliberate?
Like a controlled demolition orchestrated by some international cabal?
Now, that sounds a little like a conspiracy theory, but the article does raise some interesting points.
Like it challenges the idea that tariffs are about protecting American jobs.
And suggests they actually benefit a small elite group.
At the expense of everyone else.
And it links all of this to the rise of authoritarianism.
Things like Trump's obsession with China and attacks on democratic institutions.
And then there's the growing influence of figures like Elon Musk.
Whose actions sometimes seem to align with this whole controlled demolition idea.
It's all pretty wild stuff. So is the article saying that instead of a multipolar world led by the U.S., we might end up with something even worse?
That's the question it's asking.
And it's a question we need to grapple with.
The implications are huge, not just for the U.S., but for the whole world.
I need a moment to process all of this.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest. Welcome back. We left off talking about this potential power shift, you know, the U.S. dollar losing its whip and a multipolar world emerging.
Yeah, and it's a big question mark, right? What does this actually look like on the ground?
How are countries really moving away from the dollar?
It's one thing to talk about de-dollarization. But how's it actually happening?
Well, the article gets into the nitty-gritty.
The nubs and bolts.
Yeah, and it's pretty fascinating to see all the different approaches countries are taking.
So break it down for us. What are some of the main strategies they're using to ditch the dollar?
One of the simplest is bilateral currency swaps.
Currency swaps.
Basically, two countries agree to exchange their own currencies directly.
Cutting out the middleman, the U.S. dollar.
Exactly. It streamlines things, makes transactions cheaper, and maybe most importantly...
It protects them from those U.S. sanctions.
Right. They don't have to worry about the U.S. suddenly freezing their assets.
So it's like they're creating their own little financial ecosystem.
In a way, yeah. And the article gave some interesting examples.
Like what?
Well, there's this long-standing agreement between Indonesia and China.
Those are two pretty big players.
Oh, yeah. Major economies, and they can trade directly using their own currencies, the rupiah and the yuan.
So that's a pretty significant chunk of global trade happening outside the dollar system.
It is, and there are more examples like India and Indonesia also have a currency swap arrangement.
So it's not just a China thing?
Nope. It's spreading, and it's not just limited to Asia either. The article talks about the Russia-India oil trade.
Oh yeah, India stepped up its oil purchases from Russia after those Western sanctions hit.
And they started paying in rupees.
A direct challenge to the petrodollar.
The system that's been keeping the U.S. dollar on top for so long.
It's starting to feel like the ground is shifting beneath our feet.
It is. And then there's China and Iran.
Two countries that have always had a close relationship.
They've been increasingly using the yuan or even bartering.
Bartering. Like trading oil for wheat or something.
Exactly. Anything to avoid the U.S. financial system.
It sounds like countries are getting really creative in their efforts to break free.
They are. And that's where central bank digital currencies or CBDCs come in.
I've heard that term, but I'm not really sure what it means.
Think of it as a digital version of a country's currency.
Issued by the central bank.
Right, and they have the potential to really shake things up.
How so?
Well, imagine making international payments instantly without any fees.
That would be amazing, especially for businesses.
And for people sending money to family overseas.
So how would that work?
If two countries both have their own CBDCs, they can bypass the whole SWIFT system.
SWIFT.
That's the messaging network banks use for international transactions.
Oh, okay.
And right now, the U.S. can basically lock countries out of SWIFT if they don't play by their rules.
So CBDCs could give countries a way to bypass that control.
Exactly. It's like creating a whole new financial internet.
One that's not controlled by the U.S.
And CBDCs could also help people who don't have access to traditional banking.
Giving them a secure way to manage their money.
It's a powerful tool for financial inclusion.
It sounds almost too good to be true. Are there any downsides to CBDCs?
Well, there are some concerns about privacy.
Like Big Brother watching every transaction?
Yeah. If a CBDC isn't designed carefully, it could give governments way too much power to track people's financial activity.
That's a little scary, but it sounds like the potential benefits could outweigh the risks.
It's definitely a technology to watch, and China is already ahead of the game.
With their digital yuan?
The ECNY, they're already testing it out, and they're thinking about using it internationally.
So I could be paying for stuff with digital yuan someday, even if I'm not in China?
It's possible, and speaking of bypassing U.S. control, the article also talks about alternatives to SWIFT.
You mean like creating their own systems?
Exactly. Russia has developed something called SPFS, and China has SIPS.
So they're building their own financial highways.
So they don't have to rely on the U.S.-controlled roads.
That's a pretty powerful statement.
It is. And finally, there's this resurgence of gold.
Gold. Like the shiny stuff.
Yeah, central banks around the world are stocking up on the gold, especially in BRICS nations.
Why is that?
Well, gold is seen as a safe haven asset.
Like a hedge against instability?
Exactly. And it's not controlled by any single country, which makes it appealing in a multipolar world.
So it's like an insurance policy against a potential dollar collapse.
Or at least a way to diversify their holdings.
So we've got currency swaps, non-dollar trade settlements, CBDCs, SWIFT alternatives, and the return of gold.
It's a whole toolkit for de-dollarization.
And it seems like it's working. The dollar's dominance is definitely being challenged.
But the big question is, what does all this mean for the average person?
What are the potential consequences of this shift?
That's what we need to explore next, the risks and opportunities of a world beyond the dollar.
Okay, so we've talked about how countries are ditching the dollar and all the tools they're using.
It's a pretty big shift.
Yeah, but what does this actually mean for the future? Like, what happens next?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
And the article doesn't shy away from the fact that things could get a little messy.
A world where the dollar isn't king and power is spread out more evenly.
More unpredictable, right?
Exactly. More potential for instability, maybe even conflict.
Especially as the old power structures crumble and new ones pop up.
It's time of transition, and transition always comes with risks.
So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Then what are some of the specific things we should be worried for?
Well, for one thing, we could see more economic volatility.
Volatility.
Ups and downs. You know, the dollar has been pretty stable for a long time. It's been like an anchor for the global financial system.
So if it loses its grip,
Things could get rocky. We could see big swings in exchange rates.
And that could mess with trade and investment?
Definitely makes it harder for businesses to plan ahead.
So more risk, more uncertainty.
Yeah, and another risk is the fragmentation of the global economy.
Fragmentation meaning?
Breaking apart, as countries move away from the dollar and start forming their own little trading blocks.
It's like the world is splitting up into different teams.
In a way, yeah. And that could lead to less global trade, less cooperation,
Which could slow down economic growth.
and potentially make inequality between nations even worse.
So instead of a more connected world, we could end up with a more divided one.
Like going back to the Cold War, but on an economic level.
That's a pretty bleak picture, but the article also talks about the potential for a more just and equitable global financial system.
It's not all doom and gloom. There's a flip side to this coin.
So there's hope.
Absolutely. The current system has its problems, with the U.S. having so much power.
And it's led to a lot of the economic issues we see today.
Inequality, exploitation of developing countries.
And remember, we talked about how the U.S. could have used its power for good, but didn't.
So maybe this transition is a chance to reset
A
things?
chance to build something better?
That's the idea. A multipolar world where power is more balanced could open the door for different models of development and cooperation.
Models that are more sustainable, more fair.
Where everyone benefits, not just a select few.
It sounds great in theory, but how do we actually make it happen?
How do we make sure this transition doesn't just descend into chaos?
The article suggests some guiding principles.
It emphasizes dialogue and cooperation, even between countries that don't always see eye to eye.
So talking things out, finding common ground.
Exactly. And the U.S. needs to let go of its need to control everything.
Embrace a more collaborative approach.
More give and take, you know.
That's a big ask considering how they've been operating for so long.
It is, but it's necessary. And the article also stresses the importance of transparency and accountability.
No more shady deals behind closed doors.
We need to know what's going on and who's making decisions.
Both within countries and in global institutions.
If we want a truly fair and stable system,
It sounds like a tall order, especially in a world that's so often driven by greed and power.
it won't be easy, that's for sure.
But the article makes a strong case for a more equitable and rules-based international order.
One that works for everyone, not just the rich and powerful.
It's like we need to rewrite the rules of the game.
And that's going to take a collective effort, not just from governments, but from all of us.
So we all have a role to play in shaping this new world.
Exactly. We need to be informed, engaged, and ready to challenge the status quo.
We've covered a lot today, from the weaponization of the dollar to the rise of BRICS and the mechanics of de-dollarization.
It's been a whirlwind tour of the global financial landscape.
But if there's one thing I want our listeners to take away from this deep dive, it's this.
The world is changing in a big way. The dollar's reign is coming to an end, and a new global financial order is emerging.
It's more complex, more uncertain, but also potentially more just. And as this transition unfolds, we all need to ask ourselves,
What role will we play in shaping this new world? What kind of future do we want to create?
That's a great question to leave our listeners with. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time for another exploration of the forces shaping our world.